Our Old Testament reading comes from Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading comes from Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For no one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Continue. The gospel comes to us from Mark chapter 1. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness, and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him, and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist, and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord. We'll confess our common faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Some weeks, you just don't know what to say. Yet, Sunday comes anyway. Karl Barth, a famous theologian of the mid-20th century, once said that the preacher holds the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. His point was that the Bible allowed us to interpret or to understand our daily existence. Without the story of Scripture, it would just be one thing after another, full of sound and fury, but signifying nothing. But God tore the heavens. That's the actual verb that Mark uses about the heavens. The Greek is schizo. Our word schizophrenia comes from that, a quite radical rupture. But as is typical, our modern translators tend to pick the least dramatic potential translation. He saw the heavens opening. God tore the heavens, and the Spirit descended. And he did this, and because he did this dreary world is once again full. We can no longer rest comfortably in a meaninglessness. We can no longer take our turn on the stage, a poor player strutting and fretting to be heard no more. We read Genesis 1 as the Old Testament parallel because the baptism of Jesus is a creation moment. God first tore the heavens with his word, "Let there be light." The Spirit was present on that day, hovering over the waters as well. And if we take Proverbs and the New Testament as truth, it was wisdom, or the Word, who was present as well, and through whom all things were made. God saw that the light was good, but what was good would soon become marred. Not too long after placing them in Eden, Adam and Eve would fracture that good image of God. And their fracture would doom all their race unless God tore the heavens again. And that is exactly what he had promised them. One would enter this world who would crush that serpent's head. But long ages had come and gone. Yes, patriarchs and prophets had been sent, but nothing seemed to stick. Even God seemed to tire of his own people, sending them into exile. He brought them back, but went strangely silent. Almost half a millennia passed. And John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Back into the wilderness, where the people of God were first created after the Exodus. Back to the Jordan, the river crossed to enter into the promised land. Back to repentance. Back to the formation, the creation. John wore camel's hair and a leather belt. This is the equivalent of sending a tall actor on stage in a stovepipe hat and beard. You know that President Lincoln has just stepped on stage, with John Elijah has just stepped on the stage. But what he eats also tells us something. Locusts were the only clean insect. John would abide by the law. But wild honey meant something else. Regular honey was subject to the temple tithe. Wild honey was not. John would be clean, but not subject to the temple authority. Because the real point of his appearance, the greater one is coming. God is now tearing the heavens. I baptize with water, I prepare the way, but he will baptize with the Spirit. He will recreate. And all Judea and Jerusalem were going out to hear this. Could it be true? After all these centuries, and in those days, Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan, and the heavens were torn. And the Spirit hovered over the waters there and rested on Jesus. And the Father pronounced, "This is my Son, the Beloved." Christmas, or the Incarnation, was the presence of God in this world. But I suppose it would be possible that instead of grace, he could have come to conquer. Just after this baptism, that's exactly what Satan would try to tempt Jesus towards. But that's not what this baptism means. That would have meant Jesus setting himself apart as greater. But this baptism does the opposite. He identifies with Israel. Both Israel and the Davidic kings had been called the son or the sons of God. But now the Son of God has come and stands with Israel under a baptism of repentance, crossing the Jordan. A new Israel. A true Israel. And Isaiah would prophesy about the servant of Yahweh. He would have the Spirit upon him. Jesus has incarnated that servant, eventually the suffering servant. The king would become our sacrifice. As two doves were the sin offering, the one on whom the dove rests would be our sacrifice, would carry the sins of the world. But it was not just Israel or their king. The prophet Joel had promised that the Spirit would be poured out on all flesh. Jesus is not just the recreation of the people of Israel and the Davidic king, but he's the new Adam, all flesh. Jesus is the icon, the image of God with which the Father is pleased. What was once good but marred in Christ is recreated. Where Adam and Israel and David had all failed, this one, Jesus, would succeed. The heavens were torn. Here at the Jordan, for God to be numbered with the sinners, to call them His. At the other end of Mark's story, something else is torn. The temple veil. The temple veil, which Josephus describes as being a tapestry inscribed with all of the heavenly spectacle, except the zodiac. On the cross, when he says it is finished, the heavens are torn. That time torn open to let his people that he claimed in the Jordan into that holy place, into the eternal halls. It's been a week full of conflict and blood and indifference. While most of the Western media concentrated on French media killed by terrorism, over 2,000 were killed by Boko Haram in Nigeria. The comment by the Nigerian Senator Zana, "These towns are just gone, burned down. The whole area is covered in bodies." And the Patriots beat the Ravens. The Seahawks took care of the Panthers, and OSU and Oregon are set to meet. I don't bring those things up for despair, but exactly the opposite. God tore the heavens, and in those waters, he stood with all of that absurdity. Not that it was good, but that it was his. And he would remake it. Christ took our baptism, a baptism that ended right there on the cross, so that he could give to us his. In his baptism, we've been buried with him, such that we might also be raised. In his baptism, we've been united to him. This body of sin will be brought to nothing. It will literally be brought to nothing in death. But you have been claimed. And in your flesh, you will see God. And death will no longer have dominion over us. We die to sin but once. But our lives are already towards God. He tore the veil and claimed us, sinners. That is the good news, enemies.